93.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. Stay tuned for the Visionary Activist Show.
So I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, to our Christmas Eve replay of the trickster training telecoyote solstice reverie, lighting fires at this time of dire beauty and necessary miracles. For the entire event, go to coyotenetworknews.com, and here we go, team.
So I love Terry Pratchett saying, you know, here we are in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world. Woohoo, woohoo. This is a time of incarnational mystery, this longest night when humans for 30,000 years have gathered on this night. We can feel them behind us to lay the old year to rest and to invite in the literal and metaphoric light of the sun to animate the desirable story. So it is an incarnational mystery time, always cyclically, and then we go, each moment in time awaits our dedication to animate its goodness. So what is unique to now, and why am I so glad to be cahooting with all of us? The more, the merrier the magic. Yes, yes, yes. As I sent in the missive, you know, one of the beautiful Sabian symbols, a person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them. So we can be that person in deep gloom easily. But when we join together, even especially, maybe telepathically now, we're all the glowing circle of angels. As we convene right now, the moon is exalted in Taurus, straight up overhead in the East Coast. We go, again, everything for the earth, that humans may, we may compost colonialism and dominance and human rudeness and dingbattery and ladle out our willingness to animatedly cooperate with everything, with nature's guiding evolutionary genius. And we go, So the incarnational mystery, again, part of the dynamic of now, we speak of the planets, are real, and they represent living qualities of intelligence that reside within us and connect us to the world and are suffused throughout creation. So as we know in our dedicated cahooting, trickster will say Uranus, but it really resides in everything. It is, you know, we can track it. It's coyote, it's raven, it's resilience, it's defiant, it's seeds that sprout after cataclysm. It's a part of us coming alive even more now, that loves against all odds. Going against all odds? Perfect. Been waiting for this. I mean, other parts of us are like, you know, daunted and all. But also, the incarnational mystery of now. We know, many of us know, I'll just refer to it briefly, you know, but it's really great, you know, the Amanita mushroom story of Christmas, which again is not just guys, it's also the reindeer are feminine. There we go. The shamans are men and women, yes, who would dress as the sacrament, red and white. Amanita mushrooms grow like little packages under fir trees. The reindeer love to eat them. And then the Sami would drink the reindeer piss, which would filter out some of the more dangerous alkaloids. And the experience is of flying to the North Pole to gather wisdom and to bring it down every hearth, every chimney, every spine into each heart. And as we wander around and see all the little lights going, and I love having a Christmas tree, and Stella Coyote loves having me bring a tree in, because remember, as Diana Beresford Kroger said, walk into a fir tree forest, you always come out smarter. You know, at the time when we're letting intelligence into our homes in the form of trees, going, all right, tree, you know, the trees talk to each other and go, all right, you got to be cut down, but you're gonna make those humans smarter in that house. Thank you for your sacrifice. It's like a positive version of Till Burnham Woods Does Come to Dunsinane. And on the top of my tree, I have my favorite little Christmas tree decoration, which is extremely happy to be coming alive now, magnetizing metaphor into matter. And it's a picture of the three magi, the three astrologers, arriving at the creche in Bethlehem and then going, it's a girl! So this year, Uranus the trickster stations, looks like it's standing still, and goes forward on Christmas Day at 6:53 p.m. West Coast time, and goes forward, outward. So it really is the birth of the Venusian trickster redeemer in all of our hearts, eager to partner with us as agents to bound onto the world stage at this time of dire beauty. What a good idea. So it is, you know, it is a mystery time. I really am never jaded about solstice and Christmas. We go, oh, and this one especially really wants our honoring. And I love a new word, or maybe a word I'm more claiming, endogenous. Endogenous. I hosted Rick Strassman on radio. We'll have him back again. He who got government funding and granting to experiment with people and DMT, dimethyl, it is in us. Endogenous means it is in humans, just as we have cannabis, cannabinoidal receptors in our body, so do we also have DMT in our body, inward and outward. And part of the experience of inward and outward, we can catalyze it through, you know, discipline and many things, and also just by, you know, in the 90s, having Rick Strassman hook you up to an IV, you know. And then it's also the part that is brought alive in ayahuasca when you mix ayahuasca with these other plants that the plants tell you what to do, the DMT. But everybody, or many people, have the experience of other beings with this DMT sacrament that is in us, It is, again, between worlds, that there are other beings. There seems, again, some absolute reality to that. My friend Dr. Wu, late great ally, we honor all of the dead this night. You know, when he got epilepsy, he said he was so fascinated, he was a great acupuncturist, about the illnesses that come from imbalance of light and dark. Now, we're in one of the light and dark great mysteries, right? Because we in the Northern Hemisphere, and maybe a few people on our call in Australia, hi there, hold the other thing, but light and dark. So if we were to notice where the sun rose every morning, it's getting further and further south until today. And then if we were to notice, it really does not move. Sol, sun, stis, stand still for about 4 days. Taking us to Christmas. So this whole time, really, through Christmas, was always part of the winter solstice, so light and dark. So Dr. Wu, when he got epilepsy and thought of it was a light and dark, white people, you know, who have night shifts and stay up too late, and psychic, psychotic, very close together, as was what happened to him when after epilepsy, he began, as he narrates, to be visited by 6-foot-tall praying mantises from an insect world that was, and people were like, whoa, Dr. Wu. But unusual things did happen. And when I was in the jungles, rainforest of Mexico with Terence McKenna long ago, I mentioned this to him, and he goes, oh, yeah, old Shovelhead, we call him. You know, he's around. You run into him every now and then on DMT, and we go, how interesting. So endogenous. I think endogenous, you know, everybody in the privacy of your own whatever, you might mutter endogenous. It's just an intriguing word. And neuroscience has discovered that when we learn new words, it stimulates the same portion of the brain as sex. So we go, woo! Endogenous. Entheogens are endogenous to us. I love, don't know how many of you got to see it, the partnership of Pope Francis, the Vatican, and the movie Racing Extinction, in which they projected all of the beautiful animals and creatures of this planet, as well as its crisis, as well as its beauty, onto the Vatican. And there were thousands gathered in quiet, in silence, in dark silence, a few candles, for hours, watching this reverie of the beauty and poignancy is kinship, of all the animals, know, this call to life. And there's videos out there. You know, it's not a snappy thing. It was an entheogenic, reverie, reanimating kinship. And we go, it was, again, humans gathering in a deep and reverent way. And we go, we love that. Ooh. So we unite with Coyote and Trickster, once again, the heartening astro-mytho-guiding metastory, so much more heartening to tease it into incarnational reality, you know, in contrast to the story of, you know, delinquent sociopathic dingbattery, which seems to be getting so much attention in what passes for public discourse. But one of Coyote's tricks for all of us, and feel the kind of physicality of this, is that by tossing lightning at the closed loop of the story circle, Coyote creates a liberating spiral for all beings. Woohoo! Woohoo! And again, Wolf Wolf Wanna Play is, we aspire to move our emotional default setting to that. And I loved, we love it when we, you know, get close to the line, but other people are Wolf Wolf Wanna Play. If our dedicated hearts really are Wolf Wolf Wanna Play, as opposed to Snark, which is a very gummy fuel, the emotional equivalent of tar sands fuel, really, then it's surprising how many people are willing to play, and the playing field gets larger for everyone. So a couple of years back, I was talking to a very prominent, important rabbi, and I said, well, how about this metaphor, rabbi? I think of organized religion as like shipwrecks on which coral and barnacle and beauty can grow. And he said, that's really perfect. And I go, ooh, you are fun. you are fun creature. It's choking me up. Excuse me. All right. There we go. So we know language grants us access to the realm it describes. So if we can speak of it, we can journey and travel there. Language is one of our great forms of intimacy. You know, so the astro-mytho guiding story, you know, is right now about from brokenness and grief, you know, and danger to beauty and danger. And with all the Star Wars hoopla from years ago, I have not really been a Star Wars fan, even from the first one, in which I was like, oh, it's kind of white colonial. But when the first one came out, you know, said to fun left-wing boyfriend, we both said at the same time, the only real scene in that movie is the bar scene. And I love that one of my old late great mentors, again, praise all beings on this night who have been good to us, Joseph Campbell, said it was his favorite scene. And Joseph Campbell, a wonderful, wonderful mythologist, I was setting Grail Legend with him in a number of different venues, and at one intermission in his day-long teaching, somebody said, have you seen the Star Wars movies? And he said, young man, I haven't been to a movie since 1948, you know, or whatever. But then he got wooed, you know, he got wooed going, oh, come this way, which was good. You know, we have disdain sometimes for popular culture, but we are also willing for popular culture to be a venue for mythological goodness. And Joseph Campbell, when he saw all those guys, he said the bar scene in the first movie really was his favorite. And I know many people love this late movie and go, it's brave, poor women. And it's like, all right, I'll see it. But Joseph Campbell said it's his favorite. You're on the edge. You're about to embark into the outlying spaces, the adventure. This is the jumping off place. But you're also meeting beings who are coming back from those far reaches. And I go, oh, I love that. I love that for now. It's like this Christmas. You know, we're all on the edge. We're about to embark into the outlying spaces, the adventure. This is the jumping off place. But there are beings, entheogenic allies, who are reporting in, who can be helpful to us, whose stories we want. And, you know, again, we go, oh, right. So the Trickster Redeemer born this Christmas day is part of our theme. And just for the fun of it, to honor also great storyteller Gioia Timpanelli, who says in Sicilian storytelling, one of the opening frames is, there's five ways of traveling, walking, crawling, swimming, flying, and how we know. So might we have our first atmospheric music? Perfectly, because synchronicity is on our side. As I opened my folder, something I didn't know I had fell out, which is the last little bit of Umpepu. Umpepu is from the Sangomas of South Africa. It was given to me as a great honor. It was grown for me as a great honor. It's part of their muti. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals. We invite in power. We don't source it. We invite in power. You know, and then we, you know, offered a template, a story, a poem, beauty, as we're doing this night to animate. We go, ooh, there we go. So the Umpepu, I'm lighting it for all of us. It is, it smells like something you've never smelled before, but you've always known. It's an incredible scent. It's not quite the heaviness of sage. It's, wah. And as I'm doing now, you hold it to each ear, just telepathically, each ear, and it summons all of the ancestors of good heart, all those in our bloodline, in fairy tale, in history, or in myth, who have related dedications to what we're dedicated to. And we go, ah, welcome, welcome. Because it is a deep, 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 deep time. And we might say, you know, we ask ourselves, who's been depressed lately? We need so many words for depression, as many as Eskimos allegedly have for snow. But just a brief thing that I often, when people devote their whole lives to it, we're just going to do a very brief thing. But it's Gurdjieff. He, a Capricorn with 800 million planets in Capricorn, a temporary mystery school experiment that then got a little barnacled and encrusted like a shipwreck, but there we go. But he has a very interesting take. Again, humor breaks the bonds of fear, and this is a dark and witty levels of consciousness. So he says negative 6,000 is superstitious dread. Negative 3,000 is societal conditioning. Negative 1,500 is king ego. I've been to enlightenment things and I'm better. Negative 768 is theoretical mastery. Pretty high level of having a theory to figure it all out. Negative 384 is depression. Deep, deep depression. Negative 192 is suicidal panic. Negative 96 is grief and remorse. And then we get into the levels of clarity. Now, what the numbers refer to is the number of laws, Saturn, we're in the Saturnalia, the number of laws that we are subject to when we're vibrating at that level. It's very interesting to play with. Of course, we don't want to believe in this system because that would put us right at the bottom of it. We just entertain the possibility because you will notice, you know, getting up there into the depressed, panicky, suicidal, can't stay there long. People either go through, you know, well, they can exit, of course, but it's like, no, don't exit. It's just getting interesting. They can go into remorse and grief, you know, remorse and grief for all the times when life proffered us generous opportunities to be kind and we churlishly refused. But depression is a pretty high state. You know, and that's part of the joke. You know, when people go, oh, I'm so depressed, you go, keep with that. Suicidal panic, remorse, and then you're home free. Then you are, rather than subject to laws, you are an agent of living intelligence and principles, freed in the dance, the trickster realm. We go, so it's an interesting, playful system that one can go on about, but, you know, there's food. There's people. I mean, we all go up and down all day, you know, but we tend to have a set point. Of course, suicidal panic can't stay at that set point for long. You know, we go down from that or through it, keep on going through it. But we say to the depressed part of ourselves, you know, first responders, the whole world really, you know, is headed into this dynamic, this cataclysm thing, into depression, into death frenzy, you know, the unconscious death urge, but then no, into grief and beauty from grief, where we're going to go, you know, and then clarity. You know, so there we go. We keep going. Now, we know. You know, Lewis Hyde said, coyote is lucky if enough con men show up to school her or him. We go, oh, we are very lucky. We are so lucky. As Terry Pratchett said at certain points in his novel, the trouble was that ignorance became more interesting to mass mind, okay, to negative 6,000, negative 3,000 mind that's already imprisoned. I mean, there's so many implications to kind of tease from that domain. But the con man and the trickster, Americans have had such a challenging time distinguishing. But the con man and the trickster, it's the latter that liberates us from the former. Con man imprisons, trickster liberates. Sarcasm, which is mean, imprisons. Irony liberates. You know, to the degree to which we are ironic is the degree to which we have the capacity for compassion. Thus saith a psychological study, which is liberating in its, like, whoa, double takeness. We think of irony as kind of British bitter, but we go, no, it's not sarcasm. To be ironic is to be able to hold at least two stories at once. Usually what is and what should be, or what is and what people are pretending it is. And trickster energy, fuel, lives in discrepancy. It's that discrepancy, which is also why it's great to have all of us trickster friends ally in a glance, because if we're in something oppressive and we think that we're the only one who's catching the tyranny coming down, it's like, -384, still pretty high, but still pretty depressing. But once you see the sparkle, the twinkle of irony in others' eyes, we go, all right, we're moving through suicidal panic into grief and remorse, into clarity, there we go, into the domains. I love, a friend of mine says, when people flatter you, they're paying you for what they're about to take. We go, well, that's fun. Flattery is a con. Praise is a nutrient. We can feel the difference. So this, you know, I think also earnest is a con. Earnest is, well, is our manner of relating an offering, liberates, or an imposition, you know, serves dominance and empire and colonialism, no matter what we call ourselves. So, you know, some people might love the word earnest, but the way I understand it is earnest is important. It's special. It's people who go, nobody feels the pain of the earth like me because of my psychic sensitivity. And we go, nope, there's a flag on that play. Impositional earnestness in service to the con man, you know, 5-yard penalty, declined. The tonic version of that toxic is sincere. Sincere. You know, we don't want to be special because that's a con. That's a celebrity con that induces prison, the prison of spectacle, the prison of like, you know, the prison of glamour, you know. But to be unique, for each one of us to be willing, with the entheogenic endogenous help of tricksters all around us now, everywhere we are, telepathically cahooting right now, willing to help us to cultivate our uniqueness and our unique contribution to the whole deal. So we love uniqueness. Now, satire, of course, is a great trickster art, and it is liberating. I am so grateful to Andy Borowitz. Many of you may read him. He's really worth subscribing to. He's so consistently on it, but his recent one is just so fun, I cannot resist. The title of it is Nation Needs Cheaper Way to Find Worst People. And he says, any search for the worst people in the country should logically begin one place, on Twitter, said Logsdon, a made-up character, who recommends scouring the social network for users who consistently show signs of narcissistic personality disorder, poor impulse control, and other traits common to odious people. Once a comprehensive list of those Twitter users is compiled, Logsdon said, it could be cross-referenced with a database containing the names of people who have presided over spectacular business failures, embezzlement, have been the target of multiple ethics probes, or are currently under indictment for a broad array of criminal offenses. After we crunch the numbers and find the 12 or so worst people in our database, we could then put them on television to demonstrate just how awful they are as people, said Logsdon, who noted that that part of the current system is working pretty well. We go, thank you. Thank you, Andy. That's so great. So we remember the beautiful power of words and etymology. You know, that the word privilege means private law. We go, well, yeah. Now, illusion and delusion, very intriguing. Illusion comes from in ludo, which means in the game. In the game. You know, part of the beauty of now, the, you know, the cyclical 30,000 years, but also right now, what is unique to now? Neptune, dreams, vision, illusion, and the shadow of delusion, we'll come to that, you know. But Neptune goes around every 165 years. So it represents how a culture tells itself its own story through the images and music that circulate through mass mind. And by analogy, you know, the images and music that circulates through our own minds that determine what is or isn't possible. So Neptune in Pisces now, at its stationing degree, at this powerful, deep, deep, deep winter solstice into Christmas, into this powerful, powerful winter, and this wild, wild realm we're moving into, and what qualities do we want to cultivate to best navigate now with plucky hearts and allies and synchronicity. Here we go. And against all odds, you know, jauntiness. There we go. So think of Neptune as the foggy, invisible tendrils that actually guide the molecular reality of culture. So all of us as first responders, we're kind of like wet finger in wind, a good thing to do. I'm holding my wet finger up to the wind. And we might say, can't see it, but can feel it. There's a shift. And it's an against all odds desirable shift, but all of creation is eager for us to join back in the choreographic participatory dance, going, ooh, the task is against all odds and therefore perfect to transform our world and human rudeness from one of militaristic dominance, greed, superstitious blood sacrifice rather than face the real issues, to a culture of reverent, compassionate, altruistic ingenuity, to reassume responsibility for dreaming the world into being. And we go, oh. So Neptune's in its home realm of Pisces, which is everything that has ever moved the human heart to kinship. All myths, all fairy tales, all of those things. So it's stationing now, excuse me, at 7 Pisces, whose image is a girl with a bugle calling in a new tide of cultural energy. So as we are animating our trickster redeemer, our Venusian trickster redeemer, regardless of our extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment, born in each one of our hearts, it's the power of Venus to lead and initiate Mars. There's that. So illusion in the game. You know, we come up with a metaphor or an illusion, you know, because it implies, as religions do say, you know, I do think that in Islam, whose word comes from salam, peace, you know, what became the prohibition, thou shalt not make images, probably started off as a observation going, any one image of the divine is going to be limited. So it's kind of like the Ten Commandments. They were stolen from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and they weren't commandments in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. They were professions. You know, Osiris says, I have not stolen. I have not committed acts of lust. I have not taken life. I have not. And then there's a hundred and something of them. And then the Old Testament grumpitude, you know, stole them. The Ten Commandments are stolen and turned into finger wagging. Thou shalt not. You know, it's like, oh, into the cauldron with that. Into the cauldron with those things, perhaps. You know, if we're rascally. But we also know if illusion in Ludo, going, yes, metaphors and illusions, these are our friends. We conjure them and the power of story and metaphor. And it's not believing in. It's like, what story can we ride? What story, when we think about it or touch it or tell it, it comes alive. And we can ride it like a wise animal, as all the mythic figures are riding animals. You know, Ganesh is riding his rat and Prince Canetta is riding his wise pony. And, you know, what are we all riding? We wonder. Neptune wants us to wonder. But the shadow, of course, and everything's shadow dancing now, delusion, deludo, means out of the game. So we have Donald Trump and Carly Fiorino, who saw videos that do not exist, right? And when people have said, we've scoured the things, and then nobody, and then this, would it change your mind if we told you that absolutely these videos don't exist? No, they said. No, it wouldn't. We go, oh, so we want to call in Trickster to deal. And remember, we are not alone. It's aloneness that got us into this pickle. It's experimental willingness to invite in. This is the incarnational invite in what we need, invite in what we need. And we're all aspiring, I include myself, to experiment. You know, Uranus being nature's evolutionary ingenuity has no category about success, fail. It's like, try that. Nope. Try that. Nope. Try that. Ooh, yeah. Sizzle. So in that realm, I do know in our magic backpacks that we take things away and begin to play with them. It's the real presence of this Christmas under the tree, abstract or literal. We like literalizing metaphors, but, you know, but even in mind's eye, remember the Kabbalist said an image in our mind is made of molecules as much as any table. So a tree in our mind is made of molecules. That'll do. But we call in Trickster when we don't know what to do. We call in what does. Oh, Trickster, handle this in a way that is witty and liberating to all beings, you know. So, remember, I'm gonna forget the name of the person, but the pharmaceutical whippersnapper young man who bought a pharmaceutical company and changed the price of a pill that is important for the immune system and many people depend on it from $7 to $750. We go, oh, well, he was indicted last week for completely other reasons. And we go, oh, good trickster, good trickster. Remember when Hercules was, you know, behaving badly and rampaging the world, you know, uninitiated Mars, hyper-yang death frenzy. Humans have known about this, but not on this scale, right? But the gods would get together and sentenced him to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving, again, Venusian arts, to weave back the fabric of creation that had been torn asunder, you know, to go backstage, to go think about it. There we go. And I love... You know, I mean, all the people who've died this year, and late great ally Terry Pratchett, wonderful animistic writer, and such an act of generosity. He spent the last year of his life, when he knew he was dying, writing his last so beautiful book, The Shepherd's Crown. It's so wonderful. It makes everybody a better witch by reading it in a really profound and witty and non-inflating and completely great way. And The Great Young Girl Witch, I'm so glad. I mean, he wrote a bazillion books, but I'm so glad his last book was, you know, animating his wonderful character, this great young woman witch, Tiffany Aiken. And at a certain point, bad beings, you know, uninitiated Mars beings, greed beings, were invading the beautiful land that so many people loved. It was bad fairies. It was bad fairies. Fairies gone wrong. And a fairy princess who's switch sides says, I better teach you about the skill set of these dementors. They use glamour. And now remember, for us, words, glamour or glamour is a Scottish word that is it's a very negative thing. It's sort of a men's projection of the evil, demonic, murderous aspects of women. You know, it would pull sailors in and drown them, you know. And we made a whole industry and called magazines after it, for God's sake. Oh, illiterate, oh, mythologically illiterate Americans and modern world. But anyway, so the fairy helping them, who's turned and wants to be a good being, she says, all the witches are gathered, and they go, well, we're immune to glamour. No, we're not. You know, that's not a problem for us. And the fairy says, well, check this out. And she wafts this mist towards them. And each one of them goes, I am an agent of the goddess. I am the goddess. I am the most important. I am the most wonderful. I am, Andrea, you know, kind of inflation. And then goes, oh, no, I'm nothing. I'm a dingbat. Oh, it's terrible. It's sort of a 768 to 384 thing. I figured it all out. I'm really great. Oh, no, no depression thing. Okay. And then the witches go, whoa, that's really strong. That's really strong. The seduction to be special. The glamour. And Tiffany Aiken is given a chant to teach to the witches that will make them immune to glamour. And the chant is Yon Tan Tethera, Yon Tan Tethera. So each of us in the privacy of our own listening, but we are telepathically cahooting, might say Yon Tan Tethera. And put that in our magic backpacks, because it makes us immune to specialness and glamour and false illusions. And we go, So... I often think, you know, the con man Trump is a kind of Frankenstein animated cartoon of American murderous vulgarity. Yet everybody has a role in the play in some strange way. But it's also being acted out in these kind of toxic mimics. It's Irish, Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company Pfizer, and the Irish company Agron, merge. All right. They merged, and Pfizer's main product is Viagra, and Agron's main product is Botox. So Viagra and Botox just merged. Oh, how perfectly demonic is that? Viagra, kind of toxic, you know, we know that, you know, well, it's a toxic Mars thing, really, I think, you know. You know, and it is, you know, I've used this a lot, but oh, what the hell, you know. We have dominance and empire, row, you bastards, dum dum da dum da dum, running on fossil fuels and now collapsing, but taking so much life with it. And then underneath, you know, curve of reverent renaissance, you know, of ingenuity rising from the rubble over here, beautiful. We want to be inviters. We want to be inviters to invite people over from what's collapsing to the thing that's coming up. Yes, yes. In cahoots with all the spirits and the animals and the ancestors and everybody. No, that's the way to go. Entheogenically kinned. That's why I joke, you know, the reason that cable news is brought to us by Viagra is because Empire just can't get it up anymore. Ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom. You know, directing influence, you know, we Trickster is so eager for us to experiment with many, many realms of collaborative cahooting available to us, you know, to access. You know, all the teachings have said we don't need more power, but to animate, you know, the intrinsic creative potencies that we are all, that we all have, like Dorothy Slippers, really, you know, more things. So directing influence. And I do love, you know, at you know, KPFA Craft Fair, somebody comes up to me in August and goes, oh, what about this terrible prediction? Remember, predictions are kind of negative 3,000 thing. A prophecy, kind of up there, you know, in the clear zones. But what about this terrible prediction? There's going to be a terrible economic collapse in September. We go, well, you know, I think that's kind of a, you know, Ron Paul sell gold scam. Not that there aren't real things, you know, whatever. But then we go, with a plucky, jaunty thing, we go, are we not alchemists and wizards and magicians and witches? Where would we like to direct the flow of financial collapse? Right this way, here you go, to the polluting industries. There you go, right that way, and that is what happened. Shell ceased its drilling in the Arctic, may it be forever, because of economic reasons. Their board of directors had put about $1 billion in, and they're like, you get one more chance, you know, and they drilled and came up dry, you know, and, too expensive. And we go, that's good. And remember our skill set also of, from the dog whisperer to become politician whisperers, that, you know, no creature likes the word no. But hey, hey. Hey snaps the fixation, snaps one out of the glamour. Hey, you know, and then it discourages. It frees. That, there we go. It Trickster liberates. You know, hey, and then directs it going, oh, and over here, discourage. Hey, break the trance, liberate, and encourage. Feed the heart over there. There we go. So that becomes one of our skill sets, as well as humor and shape-shifting. I like the Daesh, you know, it will, the Daesh who die will not, the dead will not be met by 144 virgins, but 144 vegans, provoked vegans. So we love that, you know. Now, at this time, there's jollity and there's depth, and they are interfused. Always at this season, it is deep and poignant and sad as we honor what is before us, like who, and also all who've died. But it's also a kind of jauntiness, a resilience, that a defiance again that comes from that. You know, the longest night, the shortest day, you know, came. And we gather, as have our ancestors, to wish each other well, to light, you know, candles and beseeching fires to keep the heart alive. We want to do that. We remember magic is a willingness to cooperate, to work and dance with everything, and cooperators are standing by. It's a kind of experiment. So as we look at the world and we say beauty and destruction are neck and neck, we're betting on beauty because it's the defiant, more fun, and more effective thing to do, and playful. You know, for everything, there's a magic thing. There's WikiLeaks, and then there's Wiccan leaks. You know, may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth. And we go, huh. So there is so much and so many that have died this year. Humans, fauna, flora, 30,000 species a year, 30,000 plus species a year. There's the hugeness of it all and the intimacy of it all. And I love, you know, my poet buddy, Ally Robert Bly, one of his phrases is about, you know, we want those of us who are breathing now, you know, our dedication gathers spiritual support for keeping our small boats afloat when so many have gone down in the storm. And again, the poignancy, again, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. So on Thursday, my beloved sister-in-law, really the heart of my brother's life, was killed in a car accident on her way home. Again, the last Facebook postings going, on my way home on the 17th, I'll see everybody. We'll have such good fun. So that's been really huge and deep. And part of when I went to the article about her death, car accident, pulls in front of a truck, a stop sign and pulls in front of a truck. But down in the comment section, again, the comment section so often in so many places really toxic. Some wise wag had said it's as though Donald Trump is an animation of the comment section. But in this comment section, it was beautiful and there was kinship. And one of the commenters said, my brother was driving the truck that killed that woman. And he's such a sensitive and kind person. He's in the hospital, truck overturned, huge, big thing. So I got in touch with her and said, Robin was so kind. She would have wished your brother well. You know, and I was talking to my brother, John, who said, you know, I've been sad before, and I've been desperate before, but I've never been so desperately sad. And yet even in that, you know, he talked to the state trooper and was like, how's the driver of the truck doing? And he said, you know, and I said I'd been in touch with the sister of the driver of the truck, and he said, oh, I don't know how to do social media. Oh, I'll have to ask Robin when she... And he caught himself, Robin's his wife, who was a social media queen. We go, he's slipping away. So I said I would do it for him. And in the article, you know, the article had said, a momentary loss of focus leads to instant death. And I thought that was an unusual newspaper phrase and kind of good. I mean, not good, but reminding us going, ooh, 1 second, 2 seconds, how precious life is. But my brother said, we don't know that. And I was like, you're right, we don't. So I did the chart, you know, of the map of where she was, the map of the sun, and I go, oh, no, because my brother had said it might have been the sun. And I go, oh, no, look, the winter solstice setting sun at 2:57 p.m., it's very low in the southwest. Her car is pointing west, southwest, the truck is coming from the south. And I go, oh, I know, it was the blind spot. It was a blind spot. I could see it. So for all, personal and collective, you know, when the Bamiyan Buddhas were blown up by the Taliban, when so much life and beauty and structures in Syria, a Syria we will never see again, so many allies love Syria, and when the temple to Baal, when we were there in Palmyra, the beautiful ancient city, and our guide proudly said, you know, this is how this temple protects itself. It is a temple dedicated to tolerance. And look, we have images of every aspect of the divine, so no one will harm it. We go, oh, but it got blown up 2 months ago. So how do we think of this? May destruction and death of Saturn form liberate the beauty it contained. We experimentally, it's our illusion, it's our in ludo. We would wish this to be true. There are 20, 30, 40 stories at least all going on at once. They can be conflicting and all be true. Which ones do we vote for? We go, And I should also say that I passed on beautiful words to the woman, sister of the truck driver, who then we had a deep thing going, and she said she read them to her brother in the hospital, and he, you know, wept and wept. To hear solace coming to him from unexpected places, we go, oh. And when the Bamiyan Buddhas were destroyed, we go, well, may the prayers contained within them waft into the Mimosphere, waft into the Neptunian realm. May the beauty of the temple to tolerance, you know, waft into the world, you know, more tolerance. It's intolerance that destroyed the building and liberates the spirit of tolerance to waft through the world. And that is what this season right now and this winter is really about. And may the beauty and dedication of my sister-in-law, Robin, may what was so good in her heart, may it waft out there. One of our trickster teammates on our call is beautiful, beautiful troubadour bard David Grimes, and we have him singing another one of our allies, Jessica Radcliffe's song. This is to honor all that has died this year, and to hold it in our heart that we dedicate even more deeply to the beauty that comes from grief. There we go.
Sometimes I fear my heart will break. It never does, it never does. As if by breaking it would make the most of love, the most of love. And little do I understand why pain and love go hand in hand, or why the beauty of a song can make and keep my heart so strong. We are but a moment here, and in a moment we are gone. But every moment that we share becomes forever in a song. And when I feel my heart so full that it will break or overflow, then it will overflow in song and never break but only grow. Sometimes I feel my heart will break. It never does. It never does.
Ah. We know to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. Whew, that's from Michael Gruber. So, to break spells and take new vows. And even though I've told this story often, to tell stories now, this is storytelling season that we're embarking on this night, this very night, the winter of stories and bringing stories alive, you know, the power of stories. So it is us to assume that sane reverence and positive stories assume cultural narrative lead. So the tale, briefly, of Dame Ragnall, again, it's something that people dedicate their whole lives to, and here's a very short version of it that is important to us now. Arthur is at the heart of the Grail legend. All the myths are rooting for us, seeking to proffer guidance and encouragement. So Arthur is hunting one day in the forest, and he wounds a deer in a thicket, and he takes off his sword to wander into the thicket to find it, and he encounters in the middle of the thicket his old enemy over a real estate deal gone bad. It's a quirky detail. And his enemy says, "I'm going to kill you." And Arthur says, "Look, I'm unarmed. That would be most unchivalrous." And his enemy says, "Fair enough. Okay, I tell you what. I will give you a question and a year to answer it. And after that year, I will show up. And if you have the right answer, I will spare your life. And if you don't, I will cut off your head in court. And Arthur says, oh, thank you, thank you. That is very kind of you. What is the question? And his enemy says, the question is, what do women want? And Arthur goes, whoa, whew, okay. So all year, he's gathering, he's talking to everyone, you know, in the field and everywhere, and wise old women, and I mean, everyone, and foxes, and everybody. And he's got burlap sacks full of answers, but he knows he doesn't have the right one, and time is running short. When into court rides Dame Ragnall, and she is described as smelling like the sea at low tide, and she has gigantic boar's tusks, and she's just way, way funky. And she rides up to Arthur and says, Arthur, I have the answer that will save your life. And Arthur goes, oh, thank you, that's really great. And she goes, no, not so fast. In return, I will marry your nephew, Sir Gawain, the handsomest man in court. And Gawain says, whoa, uncle, I will do this for you, and maybe we can find the answer somewhere else before that. Ha ha. So Dame Ragnall whispers the answer into Arthur's ear. And his enemy shows up. People are surround the court with great concern. And Arthur pours forth the burlap sacks of answers. And his enemy goes, nope, sharpening his sword. Until finally, all that Arthur has is the answer that Dame Ragnall has whispered in his ear. And so he whispers it into the ear of his enemy. And his enemy says, oh, phooey, and he leaves our story now. So Guinevere thought a small wedding would be nice, but Ragnall will have none of it and insists on a big wedding. And at the banquet, you know, she's devouring entire roast boars, and grease is pouring down her chin, and all the women of the court, most of whom Gawain has bedded, are like, oh, no, poor Gawain, you know. So they retire to the wedding chamber, and they're in bed. And Dame Ragnall says, how about a little kiss, sweetie? And Gawain summons all of his chivalry and goodness and says, nay, I will do more than kiss. And he turns to her and sees she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Like, wow. He goes, what? And she says, your goodness has half released me from this terrible spell. And here's the deal. I can be beautiful as I truly am half of the time. Either in court with you during the day or alone with you in bed at night. What do you choose? And Gawain goes, oh, wow. Gee, on the one hand, on the other hand. He goes, it is too great a choice, madam. It is your choice. And she says, you have completely released me, and I will be beautiful all the time, because what woman wants most in all the world is sovereignty. Sovereignty given again, sovereignty returned to and fro, that we give each other sovereignty, you know, and they make love time out of mind is the beautiful phrase for weeks, causing the court to wonder what the hell happened. And I go, oh.
We have been listening to a portion of My Solstice Reverie, Lighting Fires at This Time of Dire Beauty and Necessary Miracles. For the complete download, go to coyotenetworknews.com. Woof, woof, woof.
Why should the black man in America concern himself, since we've been away from the African continent for 400 years, 300 or 400 years? Why should we concern ourselves? What impact does what happened to them have upon us? Number one.
For news, information, and analysis about Africa and the African diaspora, tune in weekly on Mondays at 7 p.m. to Africa Today with your host, Walter Turner. Africa Today is your source for being up to date on Africa and Africans. Mondays at 7 p.m., Africa Today on your Pacifica radio station, KPFA 94.1 FM.
Nationally popular scientist Michael Shermer is publishing a new book titled Skeptic, Viewing the World with a Rational Eye, a collection of his outstanding columns for Scientific American magazine. Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson insists Shermer's a beacon of reason in an ocean of irrationality. As we all seem to be floundering about in deepening waters, KPFA is bringing Michael Shermer to town to St. John's Presbyterian Church, 2727 College Avenue in Berkeley, on Wednesday evening, January 13th at 7:30. This KPFA benefit has wheelchair access. Philip Maldery will host. Advanced tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com and our supportive independent bookstores. Find more information on kpfa.org about Michael Shermer coming January 13th.
And you are tuned in to 94.